We're just going to take just a few seconds just to get Facebook Live up. So just relax there where you are. One in the middle. All right. All right. Make sure we've got the time check. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much for the worship. How's that, Ian? Is that right?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm in a glass jar or something.
Yeah. You're preserved to be so.
Am I preserved? Where should I be? Should I be here? It's got a proper echo. Okay. All right. Oh my goodness. I think we're up and running. We're good to go. Ian, I'm going to leave you to sort it out because I'm going to be moving around. So I hope I don't disturb too much. If it does become a distraction, we'll just use the handheld. It's fine. Oh my goodness. Let's open in prayer. Let's open in prayer. Father God, thank you, Lord, that I can be here, that we can be here in your house. Father, we thank you, Lord, for just the privilege that it is to be in your house, Father God, to be called sons and daughters of the Most High. Father, I thank you, God, that this morning, Father, we are here to receive from you, Lord God. Let every word that comes from my mouth, Father God, be a word, Lord, that you have placed in my mouth. Father, let the message, Father God, speak for itself. Let the word of truth speak for itself, Father God. Let it bring liberty and freedom to us, Father God. May we understand your heart a little bit more, Father. May we step into a place of knowing, Lord, knowing our God, knowing our Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, thank you. Thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh my goodness, the container has gotten bigger. The vacuum is bigger too. How are we doing? All right, I'm going to jump into it. So, this morning comes to you via, oh my goodness, a lot of trying to figure things out for myself. About 3 weeks ago, I'm going to set it for you. I'm going to tell you a bit of a story. Let me maybe move it down and see if that makes a difference. I'm going to sort of... yeah, paint the picture for you. So about 3 weeks ago, I was at work, and work was going well. Things are going well at work. It's very taxing on the body and very challenging. But there was a time where I felt very urgently in my spirit that I had to fast. So I went to God and I was like, okay, God. I think I need to fast now, but I'm sure I know why I need to fast. There's a very specific season, a very specific urgency that the Lord's speaking to me about, that He wants to bring me into a place of understanding. So I needed to be obedient to that, and I totally know that in this area I have no, I don't have any capacity in it. I have no reservoirs. I have no knowledge of it. I need to gain a lot more of what the Lord's heart is in this area. It's a very personal thing. So please bear with me as I don't divulge, because it's still something that the Lord is working through me with. But all that we need to know is that I basically need a lot of God's wisdom in this. And so I knew that. That fasting would help me start that journey. So I had a few trusted folks cover me in prayer over it, and my journey was one of not being sure if I knew whether or not the wisdom I was looking for I had gotten. You know, sometimes when you fast or you pray, you get to that place at the end of the third day and you've gone through it all and you've been hungry so much that you just feel like you want to eat the whole restaurant or the whole fast food chain. And you're just like, oh my goodness, you've done it, you've made it, you're steadfast, you got to the end, and it's time to break fast, and hallelujah, thank you, Lord, now I can eat. And the thing that I realized was that the more I was hungry for the physical thing, I was actually hungrier for the spiritual thing that I was trusting God for in that fast. And I got to the end of that third day, and I wasn't sure whether or not I had gotten to the answers that I needed. And to be fair, it's not to say that God needed to give me the answers in those 3 days. Because I know for a fact, I know God has spoken to me and He was like, you're going to need to press into this for a lot longer. So even though I was expecting to hear something, I knew that it wouldn't be as quick as just a 3 day thing for this to have clarity, for this to have a deeper sense of knowledge and richness to it that I understood. So I was okay with that. But it still meant that I wanted to, at least at the end of the third day, feel like I knew something more about what I was fasting for, that I didn't start off in the same way that I ended. And sometimes I feel like when we pray or when we fast and pray, just a side note, a lot of what I'm speaking to you guys about, or every time I come before you, a lot of what I'm speaking to you about is about prayer and our prayer life. This is going to be a little bit different to it, but it's got to do with prayer. So anyway, I realize that every time we sort of fast and pray or we trust in God for something, there is a slight expectation for us to hear from God. If there isn't, then there is something wrong. Then it means our faith isn't there for us to hear from God. So in my situation, I was like, okay, God, so I know I haven't received anything. I'm still at the place where I need. Look, this was 3 weeks ago, right? So in those 3 weeks, God has been speaking, but I haven't been back at the fast. I haven't been back at sort of consecrating myself and putting myself into that place where I'm really digging deep, which is something I'm wanting to talk to us about. Like, how do we, in our day-to-day living, in our relationship with this modern era, in how we do life in church and outside of church, how do we dig deep on a day-to-day? How do we dig deep? Do we have that reservoir that's always filled up that we know we can go to even when we aren't sure we're going to get the answers that we need right then and there? And sometimes, for me, the thing that I knew I needed and I know I still need was this idea, it's just the truth of it, it's just the wisdom of it. The wisdom of it. The wisdom of God. Now, it's not something that I know I'm going to have, but it is something that I know I'm allowed to ask for. And what I mean by having, I mean I might not have it tomorrow, I might not have it now, I might have it, I might just not know of it in my spirit. I might have it there, but something isn't being unlocked yet. So how do I know that the wisdom of God is with me all the time? So this is something I was grappling with. It's not something I'm putting towards you as like, this is it. So I was grappling with all of these questions, and I got led to doing a study of James 1. And I was reading James 1, and for sure I was, you know, I was praying about all of these things, and I was praying about wisdom, and I remembered about, you know, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened to you. And I was remembering all of those scriptures, and when I got to James 1, verse 5 was beautifully laid out there for me, and it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, and he will give, who gives generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. So this part of scripture was very clear for me. If anyone lacks wisdom, he must ask God. And he gives generously, without reproach, meaning with no reservation, and it will be given to him. And I thought, okay, fine. God, I'm going to ask you for the wisdom. And I asked for the wisdom, and I'm still asking for the wisdom. I'll keep asking for the wisdom. But my question was still the same when I was finished asking for the wisdom. And I still keep asking for the wisdom and will be asking for the wisdom. The question was still the same. How do I know God when I've got it? How do I know? Because I'm not necessarily, the situation that I was faced with at work, that's not coming to me every day. But when it comes around again, how will I know I will have the wisdom that I'm asking for right now? How will I know I will have the wisdom to deal with what you're asking me to deal with, to speak with love to people, to not be quick to anger, but to be slow to speak and to hear? How will I know that all of those things are in place before I get to the thing? Are you with me? Do you understand where I'm going with this? How do you know you have the love that you ask for this community? How do you know you have it? How do any of us know we have the patience? Oh my goodness, I'm a dad of two. My wife is a mom of two. How do we know we have the patience? Day and day, we get taught that we don't have the patience. Every day, it's not an understatement. But the beautiful thing about that I'm learning is that you and I will only know when we are in that situation. And then the truth of the heart is going to be exposed. So you and I, we must ask for wisdom. But what I'm wanting to speak to us about, which is something that I caught myself in, that the Holy Spirit was so gracious to show me and merciful to show me, the thing that I caught myself in was this sort of false sense of pride and righteousness in Christ, where I asked for all the grand things. God, give me righteousness, give me wisdom, I want to be like Solomon, Lord, give me all of these things. I want to just be amazing. Not understanding what it all means. Has anyone done those blanket prayers, blanket statements, massive declarations of faithfulness and righteousness? Because my goodness, the thing about doing that is that we need to understand what we are asking for. We need to understand and know what it is that we want to step into. Because Jesus, there are three passages of Scripture that I'm wanting to read to us today. I don't do slides, just so you know. So the reason why I don't is because I, in my sensibility, I just, it just isn't natural for me. But the other thing that I enjoy about not having it is just, I'm just faced with this. And I want you to just hear this for what it is. Because the three passages of Scripture speak to me in such a way that I've not seen them before. And the first is this James chapter, which is what I'm going to read. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures, just James chapter 1, and I'm wanting to just unpack it for us as we go through it. Because the thing that I know, that I know, that I know is in your heart because it's in mine, and we're human, we're similar. We're not the same, we're similar in our makeup. The thing that I know is in your heart and is in my heart is that I say I want to do something, but I wake up the next day and I did the total opposite thing. I know I'm not the only one with that. I know it for a fact because I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to myself too many times. And here in a portion of Scripture, it says this, which is a key, I think, to what I think is important for where we're wanting to go. Last week, Ed spoke to us beautifully about just the heart behind finances. But not just finances, the heart behind knowing who God is and what He has made available to us through His grace and His mercy, and why we have what we have, and how we come together, come before Him with what we have for His glory and for building His kingdom. That Macedonian model that he was talking about. It's only by grace, but by grace means only through Christ. And the thing that I found was really impassioned in me or made me sort of just overflow when I was reading this was the scriptures from, so this is James 1:22, and it says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets
what he was like. Now that is a pretty dire situation to be in. That you forget your own face, your countenance. Now it's not necessarily just talking about your face, it's talking about everything that represents you. And the thing about not doing the word, for me, the thing that I was like, okay, what does this mean, God? I'm meditating on this chapter. What are you trying to show me when I'm asking you for wisdom? And the thing that I saw earlier on in the fifth verse of this chapter, which is being asking for wisdom and receiving it because God gives it generously. And then later on, it just talks about we shouldn't be double-minded. We should ask in faith. Let me just read that, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And now, so I must make sure that what I'm asking for as a response to doing and being obedient to what the word is telling me to do, I've not just heard the word, I must do the word, right? So my response to doing the word, to getting to, the thing about the scripture is that it's so beautiful, is that it always backtracks on itself. It's going to give you a couple of things in the first verses. Please be aware of this. Scripture will always give you a beautiful picture in the first couple of verses. And as it goes on, as any chapter goes on, it is expounding on what it has said at the beginning. So you are always looking back at seeing, oh, this is what this means. So me being a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word means that I will forget what it is that I'm standing for. I cannot stand for something that I don't know. If you do not respond to the word and do it, you and I will not know what we are standing for. Wisdom's case, in the case of wisdom, if I do not ask in faith with no doubting, I will not know what it is I'm standing for. I will be driven and tossed by the wind. I will be beautifully drawn in by the things of this modern era. I will be corrupted and it will draw me in because it's a beautiful magnet and it's set up that way because the flesh loves the stuff that we see out here. The flesh is for it. It's made for it. But you and I have to make sure that we align ourselves in a way that we see the word, respond to it by doing what we're supposed to do, which is just be obedient sometimes, which is just being meaning to pray sometimes and step into that place of prayer, because then we will not do the things that we don't want to do. We will do the things. We will be empowered to do the things that we want to do by the Spirit. So my journey was still going through this, and I wasn't done because I was at the place where it's like, okay, there's a lot here, Lord, that you are saying to me through this scripture, and I wasn't sure where I was going or where the Holy Spirit was leading me, because hearing the word is one thing, doing it is another thing. That's fine, but then I can get into a place of sort of being just religious about it, because that's what the word says. I must do what the word says. So, okay, cool. I'm gonna come to church, and then I'm gonna serve because that's what it says to do, and then I'm gonna, you know, pray because that's what it says I must do. So there is a danger in just doing it without the correct attitude of the heart. And then I was like, okay, but then, what does that mean? And then I remember the scripture that says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. Let me read it to you properly so I don't paraphrase. Proverbs 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So there are many beautiful things that are happening right now for our little church. A little church that's been through the mill. And right now, I want to say to you that as we continue on in the service of building the kingdom of God, having a desire for this community, having a heart for the lost, we cannot do it without the fear of the Lord, which will lead us to the wisdom that we need to have to be able to answer the questions that people have, to be able to be part of the answers to the questions that people have, to be able to have the heart and the love and the patience and the long-suffering and the faith and the healing balm that people have. The desire of the nation is not by itself an isolated thing. It is something that that is for everyone. Everyone that is a Christian that has the Spirit of God living in them, the desire of the nations is that you and I, as God's hands and feet, have to be at a place where we know why we do the things we do. You cannot know why you do the things you do. You cannot have a countenance that you forget. You cannot have a heart or a spirit that fades away, that is fleeting once you step into the workplace. You and I cannot forget who we are when we go to the workplace. So how does that get avoided then? Because I'm doing the things that the Word says I must do. I'm not only hearing it, but I'm actually meditating on it. I'm actually praying through it. I'm actually letting it soak into me. What I want to put before you is that the Word isn't going to let you down. It will transform you, but you have to be an active participant in it. Because again, our salvation is something that we are going after with fear and trembling. But that fear and trembling has to be put in its place. You have to understand what it's for. So fine. So I get reminded of this scripture, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So now I'm going, okay, God, so what is the fear of the Lord then? And as I was doing all of this work and trying to find out a bit more about what God I feel is speaking to me about, and I think someone here, us as a church, about knowing how and what where we're going with this stuff, I searched online and I found a pastor in Illinois who's Tom Olson, and he wrote an article online that's basically about Psalm 90, which is the only psalm that Moses wrote. And the first 12 psalms, first 12 verses of that psalm are just incredible. Not Tom Olson's, Moses. What Moses wrote is just incredible, because this is what the 12th verse says. The 12th verse of Psalm 90 says this. It says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom." So you can get a heart of wisdom. And you say to me, but Sabiso, in James 1 verse 5, it says, all I need to do is ask God and He'll give generously. So isn't that how I get a heart of wisdom? And I say, look, take it up with God, because it's the scriptures, man. The scriptures say what they say. And right now, what Moses is suggesting, Moses is saying, number our days so we can get a heart of wisdom. What does it mean to number your days? I want to put before you something that I was, as I was learning, as I was going through this. So Pastor Tom Olson puts three things before us. He says, learning to number our days means recognizing the unnumbered days of God, means to remember that our lives are fleeting, means to prayerfully consider the wrath of God. I'm going to read the first two verses of Psalm 90. And this is about the unnumbered days of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting you are God. From everlasting to everlasting you are God. God does not have a number to his days. God is everlasting. God is living now. He will live forever. God does not have a number of days. God is massively, massively forever. Like eternity that Marlisha was talking about, that's God. Eternal being. The only way you and I have been afforded that grace and privilege of being eternal is through Christ Jesus. But you and I on this earth, our days are numbered. Now, what is Moses trying to suggest here? Is he trying to suggest that you and I should live in fear for the rest of our lives until the day we die? No. What he's saying is, you and I need to understand and respect the fact of our mortality. The fact is, you and I don't have that long in regards to how long eternity is. We do not have that much time. But in our modern age, the wisdom of it is not that. The wisdom of today is you have all the time in the world. You can go after it. Don't worry about come back. You can do it. Go chase after this, chase after that. You've got the time. How old are you? 42. Oh, yes. Don't worry about midlife crisis. That's nothing. Just go for it. How old are you? 20. Oh, you are still a spring chicken. Do what you need to do. How old are you? 70. Don't worry about it. You can still... ageism. Let's not look at... I'm not trying to say here that old people are... I'm not trying to be an ageist person here. I'm just saying that all of us have a certain time in our lives and a certain number of days in our lives that God knows about. But our wisdom on this earth is that we are very naive to it for some reason. We are naive to it. And as Christians, we cannot afford to be naive to the fact that our days are X amount. Because Moses says, I'm going to read it later, but he says there are 70 or 80. 80 years that we have, approximately. If we're strong, 80 years of living. So then that means that the work of the kingdom must be of a priority to us. Or it means that the wisdom we want to have in how we do this life must be of priority to us. The things that are on God's heart must be a priority to us, not the things that are on our hearts. But you and me numbering our days has to have a specific outlook on how we approach our day to day. So basically, this convicted me in a massive way. I was like, God, sometimes I wake up and I'm just like, let me just get by. Help my wife, help Mel, the kids. Oh my goodness, I don't have a voice to sing for the show tonight. Let me steam. Let me gargle with salt water. Oh my goodness, let's try and stretch. Let's do this, that, and the other. And God is laying before me, he's laying before me a situation, not an ultimatum per se, but he's just laying it out on the table for me. And he's saying, okay, Sfiso, you are 31 right now. 31. The third passage of scripture that I'm going to read to you is about a 12-year-old boy who was increasing in wisdom. 12-year-old boy. Fully man. Yes, he was God, but fully man. But he was 12, and he was growing in favor with God and men. And God is saying to me right now, okay, this is not a check of like, what have you done with your life? This is just to say, buddy, do not be deceived by what this modern age is putting before you. Your time is limited. It is not that long. It is not that long. You must number it. Why must you number it? How do I number it, God? Well, let's read Psalm 90. Let's see what it says. So verse 3 says, you return man to dust and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are but a yesterday when it is past. Again, talking about God's time. God's time is limitless. Or as a watch in the night, you sweep them away as with a flood. They are like a dream, like grass that is renewed in the morning. In the morning it flourishes and is renewed. In the evening it fades and withers. For we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. This is where the fear of the Lord begins. Here, listen to this. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. The years of our life are 70, or even by reason of strength, 80. Yet their span is but toil and trouble. They are soon gone and we fly away. Who considers the power of your anger and your wrath according to the fear of you? That's verse 11. So verse 8 says, you have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. So who agrees or disagrees that when we see the Lord, we are going to have to be accountable for everything, every minute, every penny, and every time, every second that we spent on this earth? The danger that you and I have, if we do not understand the urgency of knowing the fear of the Lord, is that we will easily forget, again, like a man who looks in the mirror and forgets his face, we will easily forget why we are here to do what we are here to do. As Christians now, as sons and daughters of the Most High, the danger of not knowing the fear of the Lord and growing in wisdom that is God's wisdom and only His wisdom, which is what we should all desire to have, the danger of doing that means that you and I will think in the back of our minds that my disobedience in this is not that much of a big deal. Or my secret sin, my indulgence when the Holy Spirit was like, no, go now, say this now, or do this now, or don't turn on another episode. Oh my goodness, that's me. My time is before the presence of the Lord. I will read verse 8 again. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. They're all going to come to light before God. God is not going to keep it there and be like, it's, we all understand that we are set free. We are free in Christ. But there is a responsibility that you and I have when we get to meet our Maker. And that is going to be, okay, my good and faithful servant, let's look at your track record of the 80 plus years that you lived on earth. Let's just look at it. Let's take account for it. Because once we've taken account, then I can give you the reward that's matching for it. What I'm trying to say to you this morning is that you and I must understand the fear of the Lord here and now. Because the things that are going on in the world right now, the places that you and I frequent, spend most of our time, they do not, if you're not working in the church office or any kind of sort of established ministry, then you and I are out, we're out in the battlefield per se. We're out there being the hands and feet. But the hands and feet are constantly being bombarded by so many other things in the world that if these things, if the wisdom of God, if the knowing of the Lord is not established in us, we will be driven and tossed like the wave of the sea. Like a double-minded man, unstable in all our ways. Now, part of what I'm putting before you and I is not just asking. So, okay, so we know about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom. But that means it's only just the beginning. We know about asking being an important part of it. Hi there. We know about asking. Asking is a massive, massive part of wanting to gain this wisdom. Asking in faith is an important ingredient. hearing the word and doing the word is an important ingredient. But then what else? What else is there? What else is there to the word? What else is there to who God is and wants to be through us in this time, in this age? The last portion of scripture, Luke 2. Told you about this 12-year-old boy, didn't I? I'm going to read a big passage of scripture now. And I hope that you just hear it as we go. So this is Luke 2, verse 22. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it, 26, verse 26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit in the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms, blessed God, and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. 33. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. Thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. We're still going. 36. And now a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, she was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshipping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him, of all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. So, okay, I'm still going to keep going. We're just taking a pause here because that's a lot of scripture. Right now, this young man is a baby. They've just experienced this threat to the life of Jesus, where every child was ordered to be killed by King Herod, where they fled from where they were going, and the angel appeared to Joseph and said to them, hey, you guys, you've got to go now. So they left, they left Egypt, went to Galilee, I think it was, and ended up in Nazareth, so that the prophecy would be fulfilled that he would be a Nazarene, right? So they ended up there. So this is right after Herod had died himself. Herod was dead, and they were able to leave now, so that they could go to Jerusalem and have this boy as a baby, have the boy, Jesus, and anointed and consecrated for the Lord. Yeah. So this is the return to Nazareth. So they've just gone. This is the first bit. They've just gone there, and they're leaving now to go back home. And when they had departed, when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now the child grew. This is immediately speaking about Jesus, not at the age of Nolita at 3, not at the age of me. Jesus was young, maybe younger than Nolita too, maybe. Younger. The child at that age was already growing in wisdom. Why? That was my question. When I read this, I was like, but how? How God? He's a baby. And God was like, okay, keep reading. Okay, fine. Let's keep reading, Lord. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the Feast of the Passover. Every year, please remember this. Every year at the Feast of Passover, at the Feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, okay, so this is where it's starting. When he was 12 years old. So every year before then means that there were a couple of years that had to go by for him to get to 12. You guys with me, yeah? At least a decade had to go by for them to get to 12 years old, where they're doing this feast as they would annually do. They went up according to custom, and when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, which you probably know, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" That's a clue. And they did not understand. They did not understand. The parents did not understand. When Nolita says something profound, it is true. I do not understand. They did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. I want to put before you the reason you and I, we can be doers of the, we must be, not we can, we must be doers and hearers of the word. We must fill ourselves with the word. We must be dripped in the word. We must have the fear of the Lord and understand it. Search the scriptures to understand and to know the fear of the Lord. The other thing that is the most important, which Jesus is showing me, is that this young man understood what it was to be in his father's house, meaning being in the company of the Father, being in the presence of the Father at all times, being in the place where he was abiding with the Father so closely that his parents did not understand the wisdom, that the people who were teaching, who were meant to be the thinkers of the age, did not understand how this child could have the wisdom that was surpassing his age. It was not because he didn't, it was not because of anything other than he knew if he wanted to grow and know the Lord, he wanted to know his Father, know God, that he needed to seek out those opportunities and take the best out of them, drink them dry. You heard it when I read it earlier on. He asked them questions. Back then, there wasn't this that we have. There wasn't this that we have. What they had was sharing the word like this. That was how they spent their time. That was how you knew what the word of God was. You knew what the message of the Lord was. They spoke it to each other. We have the word. And God speaks to us. You and I must be drenched in it. We must seek the Lord, find that place of abiding in the Lord, by seeking out his word. You and I will grow in wisdom by being in the presence of the Lord. Because Proverbs says this. Proverbs 4 verse 1 to 7. And this was a beautiful picture again of the father teaching his son. Mother teaching his son. Mother teaching his daughter. You can interchange them. It's the same principle here. The principle is that you and I need to abide in our Father. It says here, verse 1 from Proverbs 4, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive that you may gain insight. For I give you good precepts. Do not forsake my teaching. When I was a son, my father, tender, the only one in sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart hold fast my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get insight. Do not forget, again, do not forget and do not turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Talking about wisdom here. Do not forsake her and she will keep you. Love her and she will guard you. The beginning of wisdom is this. Get wisdom and whatever you get insight. You and I will not get insight if we are not in the Father and with the Father. Well, you say to me, but Jesus spent 3 days in the temple. He could do that. I said to you, well, he did even more for you and me. He said, the veil is torn, so now I'm going to live with you. In you. I'm going to be in you. Always. I'm with you. If you are born again, you are my child, you've given your life to me, you've said, God, I love you, God, you are my salvation, you are my savior, you are the answer, you are the consolation to us as Gentiles in Israel. You have me in you. That's what God says. That's what the Lord Jesus says. You have me in you. I say, but God, when I go to work, I have to balance the sheets. I said, but God, when I go to work, I have to jump around and sing, and it's exhausting. Sometimes I forget. Okay, Sufisa, what do you forget? God asks. What do you forget? I forget you. Okay, the why do you forget me? Am I not with you? Guys, God is with us. God, G-O-D, is with you. We should just end the sermon there. God is with you, not me. Not bringing, the guy who brings the word, he's just not going to go. He goes with you, all of us. So then he says, okay. So the boy increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and men. And I went, okay, God. That's very humbling because the truth is I don't spend nearly enough time as what Jesus did. And Jesus was 12 at this age. 12. You know, I don't have to tell you this. You know what he did when he was 30. When he was 30, he went, he left his disciples and was like, okay, guys, we've done some nice work here with the crowd. I'm going off to pray. Jesus was constantly seeking the time, the presence, the attention of his Father. Constantly. And you were going to say to me, or you were thinking it, you're saying, oh, but of course he had wisdom at 12 because he was God. And I say, no, but his life proves different. If he was God, he would never have needed to go and be up in the mountain by himself praying. If he was God, he would never have needed to humble himself, submit himself to earthly parents, and put up with his family that shunned him. And then when the time came for him to carry the cross for you and me, he would not have needed to take that time beforehand to pray and go, God, please, I can't do this. But if it is your will, let's do it. You see, you and I are going to have a difficult time for when it comes to that place where it is, God, I cannot stand for this. Our modern crucifixion, whatever that might be to you, whatever that might be to me, being passed over for a job, not getting the promotion, even more difficult things, even more turbulent things. You and I will struggle to stand if we have not spent the years and the time that we have right now to know the heart of God, to know who we are abiding in, to know the wisdom that is in God. The decision for Christ to say, yes, I will carry this cross and I will go into this, was not out of, it was not made lightly. That decision had a lot of history with the Father to know that, okay, I can trust you in this. Even though I don't want to, I can trust you in this. Even though it's going to hurt and I'm going to cry. And even though I'm sweating blood, at the end of it, I can trust you in this. Because I've spent time in you, God. You have said to me, as the Father speaks, let your heart hold fast my words, keep my commandments and live. Guys, hold fast to the words of the Lord. If you and I take the time, and my man, I'm the first to put my hand up. I really am. Because I'm not bringing this word to you lightly this Sunday morning. It's not a light thing because God has been shifting me in it. He's been rocking me to it. And I had a rude awakening to come to this. To be like, you cannot, Sifiso, you cannot afford to think that all that it is that you are living for is just going to work XYZ. Those things are important, and God is going to look after you, and he's got your back. He totally does. He said it. He's faithful. But the thing that you and I are going to stand on, which I know is going to come, which is why we must be diligent to seek him and to be in his presence, the thing that I know that I know that I know that I know we need, that I need, let me not speak for all of us. Let me just say, the thing that I know I need is to grow in knowing the heart of God. The wisdom that is far-reaching, because when those hard questions come, it's a beautiful thing that Alpha is happening right now. It's a beautiful thing because there are so many difficult questions that are coming our way and that have been coming our way that once we are open to them and once we are saying, okay, here we are, we cannot not have the wisdom of God. We cannot not, we cannot afford to think of it as we can answer it in our own fleshly strength. It will let us down and we will get burnt. I'm not saying you're not going to get burnt in any case. I'm not saying that you're not going to experience troubles and difficult times. But what I am saying is, if you and I forget our countenance because we for some reason get lost in the groove of doing life, you and I are not going to have this living that is spoken about in Proverbs 4. Keep my commandment and live, God says. When you get burnt, God is still going to be able to cover you through it. But when you've done it in your own strength, that's when it's going to be difficult, because those consequences are going to be the consequences of what your flesh has asked for. But whatever consequence is awaiting you and me in the spirit, that's where we want to be, because we know God says you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Which means that there's a covering in being in the will of God at all times and knowing how to respond to an age that is growing in so many different thoughts, so many different ways of looking at life, so many different expressions of life. I'm saying to you, I'm going to close now, as passionately as I am, this is the one thing. This city is a beautiful one. And a beautiful one that has a lot that is broken in it. But the brokenness is not, you and I are not going to know the answers to that brokenness if we do not go and search and be in the presence of God for those answers. And the ways into that is to pray fast for a day. Your food is going to be in the fridge tomorrow. If the Holy Spirit says, look, set yourself aside just for me, just for 24 hours, maybe even just 12 hours, do it. Pray. Consecrate yourself and pray. When you're not fasting and you're able to eat your food, enjoy it, because God has made provision for it and it's beautiful. But pray. The thing that must not change in our lives, if we want to move into a place where we understand and have the answers to the massive things that are going on and being the answers in the hands and feet for God, the thing that we must know is that prayer cannot be something that is just here and there. Can't be fleeting. Because Jesus showed in his approach to knowing the Father that everything that mattered to him most was to be in the Father all the time. And the way in which you and I can do that is by making sure that we put that time aside. Number the days. Number the days. Understand it. Understand it, guys. Go and search the scriptures for yourself. Read up on this idea of numbering the days. Keep a journal. Keep a journal. Write down the stuff that God is saying to you and the stuff that God is doing. Or even just keep a journal for the sake of keeping a journal. Dear journal, dear Lord, today was wonderful at work. Dear Lord, today was terrible at work. Because I tell you, when you start to see your life just laid out before you in the books and in the writing that you have done for yourself, you start to see what it is that God has done and what it is that you did, and you start to learn. You start to learn from your own mistakes as well. Now, a part of me is so, I don't know why I'm just stuck on it, but I desire for you and I to get to a place where we don't anymore do life in a way that we look at ourselves in the mirror and we forget. Forget who we are. I desire that for each and every one of us. In me right now, I don't want to go to work and be like, okay, I'm in a different space. I'm not really thinking about my sonship in Christ anymore. There's no room for that anymore. You and I must know what it is we are here for. And you cannot know that unless we consecrate our time to the Lord. Consecrate our desire to knowing His heart. I'm going round in circles now, so I'm going to stop. Otherwise, I'll just keep on going. Because it's very important to me. But I think you've heard it. Let me pray for us as we close. And if the band can come up, I would love for us to sing one of the songs. I don't know. I think it's "I Want More of You, God." Set a fire down in my soul. But let me just pray for us, guys. It is a beautiful thing, to be here with you and. And thank you for all those who joined us this morning online as well. But God is such a great, merciful and compassionate and loving God. But also a God that I fear in the time that we are in right now, we sometimes just want to focus on the nice, frilly, good things about God, or the nice things that seem warm and fuzzy and orange and red and beautiful and loving and comforting about God. But the beautiful thing about the color red that can mean love can also mean death, blood, anger. And the wrath of God is a real thing. And I'm not preaching a doom sermon here. I'm not. That's not my heart behind it. My heart is just so that you and I know that the time for us as Christians to be just Christians who are Christians by association, there's no room for that anymore. There never was room for that. And so, if we are to repent, we must repent. And if anyone here wants to come up, we'll make some space for that so that we can pray together and repent of it. But being Christians by association is not and never was a thing. We cannot afford to not understand the fullness of God. The fullness of God that is in who He is and what He desires for us. And the only way you and I can step into that place is to know it, spending it, and asking God, God, give us the wisdom, please, Lord, to know how to even just be in this age. Father, we just want to bring ourselves before you, Lord, as your sons and daughters, and thank you, Lord, for the grace that you show us, the grace that you give us, the grace that you have made available to us through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you for showing such an incredible model of obedience and faithfulness and a heart of and to the Father that we cannot deny. Lord Jesus, you went to the cross at the end. Father, Lord Jesus, you cried and you sweated tears of blood. The sweat running down your face, red, symbolizing God, the blood that would be shed, and the blood that would set us free. Lord Jesus, I want to thank you this morning for not just dying on the cross, but for conquering the grave. That we might be able to stand here this morning and ask you for the things that are on your heart. Say, God, expand our capacity right now. Lord, expand our capacity for wisdom. Expand our capacity for love. Expand our capacity. God, you say in the word that you will give generously without reproach to those who ask. So we are asking you, Lord, in relating to the world that we live in right now, Father, give us wisdom. Lord Jesus, you grew in stature from the earliest times and earliest recordings of your life as an infant to your life as a grown man. From the earliest time, you grew in wisdom. So Lord, let that be a part of what we desire, Lord, to continue to grow in it, Lord God. That none of us, Father, will be left behind in thinking and knowing that how we live or how we are is enough. We'll never be there. Let us continue, Father God, to seek you. That, Lord, that reservoir of wisdom, Father God, that it'll be ever so deep and ever so wide and ever so grand and big, Lord, that no one will run dry, Father God. That when those hard questions come, Lord, we will know. We will know because you will have given us. That we, Father God, will sit in your presence and go and seek those things from you, Lord. Praying, seeking, praying, asking questions, talking through it with you. As Jesus did with all of those thinkers and teachers in the temple at the time, God. Father, I thank you that this morning, Father God, yeah, you speak a word, Father, of encouragement, Lord, that each and every person, Father, Lord, you will show us how to number our days, Father God. You will show us how to be accountable for every minute of our day. That you will show us, Father God, how to know, how to take stock of what we have. Whatever age, whatever phase, whatever time in our lives we're in, Father God, there's no excuse. There is no excuse. We want to say, Father, there is no place we would rather be than here in your love. There's no place we'd rather be than in your love, abiding in you, in your presence, Lord. Learning from you, Father God, taking it in from you, Lord. That's how the wisdom grows. Let's sing together.